Okay, when the Gemara Ksubis Nun Vav Amid Beis in the Schattenstein is 56B1. We are 10 line 56B1.
What we stopped last week.
That's where we ended up last week, yeah.
Let me do B. Oh, yeah, 56A1?
We
turned the page and we did all that. Okay. Now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah does an argument between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir says that any time you write a ksuba for a virgin less than 200 or for almana, a widow less than 100, it's called bilas nus. It's like adultery. Okay? It's considered non-marital marriage. Okay? According to the mayor, ksuba has to be at least 200 for a psula, 100. Rav Yehuda said in the Mishnah, if you want, she can, at the beginning, they can write, okay, it's as if I got 100. The girl can write this, and Rav Meir says, no, it has to be 200 and that's it. So the Gemara asks the question, so from Rav Meir it comes out, you can't even make a condition for that. Right? It must be minimum $200. So the Gemara says, "Kol apeches afila b'tna." Even if he made a condition, you can't do it. Which means, "Alma kasava that a mayor would hold tanoi batal v'isla." That even if she made such a condition, let's say the woman said, "Okay, you know what? Let's make it 100." Yeah, and they made the condition. According to the mayor, the condition is null and void because he can't, and she still gets 200. Right? That's. So Gemara, is that what you're telling me Rameir says? The Kiv and the Amalei, less Nachalamana. And they've, no, I skipped. The Kaimalon. No, what did I just do?
The
Kaimalon. No, I just turned the wrong page. Okay, the Kiv and the Amalei, less Nachalamana. Therefore, what does Rameir hold? That even if you told her she can only have 100, she's not secure about it. Right? And that's what it means. It would be like a non-kosher marriage. The Gemara seemed to say, what does Rameir say? In any situation, if the girl gets less than 200 zuz, it's be'ilas nus. It's like non-kosher relations, right? So Gemara said, even if you made a condition with her and she agrees to it, you're telling me no, it doesn't work and the condition is null and void. So Gemara said, but Vashemin le Rameir, but Rameir says, Ko masna mashi kazi b'teira, whoever makes a condition at what's biblical to know a bottle, it's null and void. B'habid Rabbanan, but in rabbinic to know a kayim, it is good. And the Gemara's question is, ksub is only rabbinic. But we learned the Tesis all the way at the beginning of the Gemara. Tesis says, in fact, Rambam, tomorrow's Rambam says also, that a ksuba is rabbinic. And Tesis over there, remember we learned before, that either we write dirt ice, and Tesis says, why we write dirt ice? But ksuba is rabbinic. So the question is like this. The mayor, in a different place, says, you make a condition against the Torah, it's not a condition. It's null and void. Right? Which means, if it's only rabbinic, you could make a condition. Yeah? The question is, but here you're making a condition by a ksuba to give her only 100 instead of 200. Rameir says it's no good. Why? He's contradicting himself. Why can't you make a condition? Yes, the Torah says, rabbinically, you have to give 200, yeah? But the Rameir says, on a rabbinic law, you could make a condition. Right? Not in the biblical law. But if ksuba is rabbinic, why can't he make a condition to give her 100 instead of 200? Why not? And yet in our Mishnah, the mayor seems to say, you can't. 200 and that's it. So the Gemara answers, interestingly, the mayor holds ksuva is mid-biblical. And therefore you can't make a condition. The Gemara thought until now ksuva is rabbinic, and therefore why can't he make a condition to give her less? So the Gemara says, no, the mayor holds ksuva is biblical. And because the mayor holds ksuva is biblical, the mayor holds in the biblical law, you cannot make a condition.
What is the logic on the Torah? Cannot make condition?
Because the Torah says. That's it. Rabbi Yehuda said before, by the way, remember, in monetary things, even biblically, you can make a condition. Mevulin Sheder Ksusa Veinosa, food, clothing, and marital relations. So one of them said, Rabbi Yehuda said, you can make a condition with the monetary things, not the giver. But Rav Meir says you can't. Rav Meir said before, if a guy cursed his wife, I don't want to, she says, don't give me food and clothing. You can't make such a condition because it's against the Torah. The Torah says you have to do it. So Rav Meir holds basically, listen, see, the Rav Yehuda argues, because Rav Yehuda says, if it's a monetary issue, why can't you make a condition? Both sides agree.
But we do it with a rich woman.
Yeah, because that's the halacha that you could. But that's not the ksuba, by the way. That's it. I won't support you. That's not making it less than 100 or 200 or whatever. But the question is, why can't you make? So Meir says, and it's logical also, by the way, if the Torah says something, how can you make a condition against the Torah? Rav Yehuda holds, you could make a condition against the Torah in monetary things. Because me and you both agree, well, who cares? Right? But Rav Meir says, no, even in monetary things, if it's biblical, you cannot make any conditions. Because Rav Meir holds the ksuba is biblical, so therefore you can't make a condition to give anything less. Okay, Tosfos over here says, even though ksuva of a widow, let's say, is rabbinic, could all opinions, and Rav Meir says, if you give less than 100 for an amon, it's also, so he says, but it's basically similar to biblical. That's what Tosfos answers. Okay, Tanya, Rav Meir says like this. Learn to the Braisa. Rav Meir says, Kala Pechas Lepsulim Messiah. Whoever, like we just said, if you give less than 200 for a virgin, Ola mona mona, and less than 100 for a widow, or divorcee, by the way, Harei Zebuli Znus. It's Znus. You know, you're not allowed to live with your wife like that. Rabbi Yisi Yomer Rishoi. Rabbi Yisi says you could. Why? Because Rabbi Yisi holds, you could make a stipulation. Okay? You're allowed to reduce the ksuba. It could be he holds ksuba is rabbinic, or he holds that he could still do a financial thing, even on something which is biblical. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says like this, a third opinion. See, our Mishnah didn't bring down Rabbi Yisi's opinion. Our Mishnah brought down Rabbi Meir's opinion, you cannot make it less, and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that says, that's a case of Lepsula Shtar Shemasayim. He can write, like, we learned in our Mishnah. He could write her $200 in the Ksuba. Vihi, K7, she could write back, his Kabli Limachamon, I got 100 from you. Or Almani, he could write 100, and she could write back 50. Okay? So here, the Braisa just adds another opinion that we didn't have in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, beginning of the Perek, said two opinions, Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir says you cannot make a condition at all. Rabbi Yisi says you could. Right? Could make a condition. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it's like in between. You could write 200 and then she could write back that I got 100. And that's the three opinions. So the Gemara says, V'savar Rabbi Yisi Roshoi? Does Rabbi Yisi hold you can make a condition in a ksuba? That's what we just said. He can make less. But I mean, I'll ask you, it sounds like this. Ein eising subasi shemitautalin. You're not allowed to make collateral for a ksuba movable items. Okay? Mipnei tikkun ha'olam for the benefit of the world. Okay? Why? Because it's very interesting. If the women would know this today, there would be quite a lot of issues. The whole concept of a ksuba is to protect the woman. But it's to protect the woman. So this braisa says so far, if I'm writing a ksuba for the wife, you can't give collateral movable items. Metaltalin is called. Why? Because they might get lost, or they might devalue. Right? I'm gonna write a ksuba to the guy will write a ksuba to his wife. Okay, you're gonna collect 200 zuz, and here it is collateral. Yeah, what guarantees that collateral will be there? You might lose it. It might go down in value. Like an iPhone now is $1,000. In 3 months, it's going to be $500. I mean, how can you make... So the Chachamim said, you can, to protect the woman, on the contrary, to protect the woman, that she should have the full ksuba. So land, doesn't go anywhere. Even if you sell it, she has a lien on the property from before, right? From the date of the Ksuba. And land doesn't go down that much. In Beverly Hills, it keeps going up. So therefore, it says like this. Ein eisen Ksubis ishi metalklu, meim tekena ilum. Amen, Rabbi Yesi says, v'chimat tekena ilum yesh bezu. What type of tekena ilum is it? Hale ein Ksuben. They're no fixed in value, and they can diminish. The Gemara is going to ask, that's exactly what the first opinion says. Right? The Chachamim said, yeah, that you can't do metautalin as collateral because tikkun olam. So we define what's tikkun olam. You might lose it, you might go down in value. Right? So B.A.C. says, what do you mean tikkun olam? No, you can't do it because it's collateral, you might lose it, or it might go down in value. That's exactly what the Tanakhama says.
What we're talking about, the ketubah, we write like 200 zuzim, right? We don't write metal tenim, we don't write like a karkot, we write money. And the money, you know...
No. In the ksuba, keep reading.
Yeah?
Keep reading. Achrei shaksuf dodon edoin dein. I feel me glima to katfoi v'chaye. It's on all the properties from this minyama dinan olalam. From this date onward, you're saying everything that I own is collateral for the ksuba. Right, which primarily is land. Correct? So the Gemara said, "What can you put metautalin as collateral?" So the Gemara says, "He can't. You can't do it."
What is this money? Sorry, I'm a little bit confused here. What is this money for? 200 zuzim is like a protection for the wife, right?
Yeah. That if he dies or divorces her, she has money to live. Yeah, until she gets remarried.
But this could be money. Money is okay.
It's money.
You'll be right, 200 zuzim, right?
But I'm saying, if I designate... Okay, let me give you a simple example. I designate collateral for a debt. I am giving you $1,000. You're giving me this as collateral. And you say, this is the collateral for the debt. Correct? And now this gets
money. He gets to keep the bus,
right? You keep this collateral. What happens if this gets lost? Can you collect from somewhere else of mine?
It's gone.
Huh?
It's gone.
You can't come to my fields because I said this is what you're going to collect from, right? If this disappears, gets lost, floods, hurricane, whatever, then you can't collect anymore, right?
Okay.
Now, the case is a guy wants to designate this as collateral for the ksuba. Let's say this is 200 zuz. Let's say, yeah? So he says to the woman, you know what? This is the collateral for the ksuba. Chacham says, you can't do it. Why? Because what happens if this gets lost? Then the woman gets nothing. It's not fair.
Or it goes down in value.
Now, at the time of the ksuba, it was worth 200 zuz. Now it's worth 100 zuz. Right? So... you give her a car collateral for a ksuba. Yeah, the second you drive it out of the lot, it's already 50% less value. It's a used car.
Also, when you write 200 zuz, like...
yeah, but you're writing that collateral means, if I don't have the cash, this is what you can collect from.
But even if you have the cash, like $200, for instance, like right now, but in 50 years, 200 is nothing. That also goes on.
The question is, do we talk about 200 zuz at the time of the writing or the time of the collection? That's a whole different Gemara to get there. All the way at the end of Ksubas talks about that.
Okay, the concept is the same.
Yeah. Well, so the price
but
says...
it's a different concept because that's still not your collateral. Whatever the 200 zuz is value with...
The Gemara later, the Mishnah later, at the end of the Masechta, talks about if you write the money in one country and then he divorces in another country... where the value of that currency is less. So which one do you collect from? You know what I mean? Where the money you got married in or the money you got divorced in? That's a whole discussion later. I'm Gamliel, I think it is in the Chum. But here the Gemara says, you want to use collateral, you can't use monetary things. But the problem over here, Rabbi Yasi is saying the same thing as the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you can't do it, they tikkun olam. What is tikkun olam? Rashi says it means it might get lost or devalue. Then the B.A.C. said, what tikkun olam are you talking about? No, there's no value and it can get worth less. So the Gemara asks, Tanikam inami inaisin kamar. The Tanikam also says you can't do it. So what's Rabbi Yossi adding? Rabbi Yossi is saying exactly the same thing the Tanikam is saying. Ella laughs. We must say, what are they saying? Like this. One of these things said that you cannot designate movable metaltalin for ksuba. That's when shalekibul olav achrayis, when you didn't accept responsibility for the ksuba. Okay. Avol kibul olav achrayis, but if he accepted responsibility, that if this money would get stolen, if the metaltalin would get stolen, he'll pay for it. Yeah, that's what the Tanakhama would say. And Rabbi Yossi would say, Kikibul olav achrayis, even if you accept, I'll explain in a second, even accept the achrayis, you still can't do it, because it can get devalued. Meaning like this. What did the way the Gemara is learning the Braisa would mean like this. Very simple. The Gemara says you can't put tangible items as collateral. Why? And that's everybody agrees, because he can lose it, or devalue it, and then you won't have any, you won't have any collateral to ksuba. But the first time it says like this, that's only if you didn't accept responsibility for the collateral. What happens if the husband says to the wife like this, this is the collateral. And if this gets stolen or lost, I'm responsible for it. Then the Chachamim say, you could do it. What are you afraid of? It's going to get lost. It's going to get lost. He says, if it gets lost, I'll pay something else. I'll pay for it. See, initially the Gemara thought, if this is the collateral and collateral gets lost, goodbye Charlie. So Gemara says, no, if he accepted responsibility that if the collateral got lost, then it's okay. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, he says it's still no good. Because what happens if it devalues? So the collateral might be there, but instead of being worth 200, it's only worth 100. What are you gaining by it? That's what Rabbi Yossi, what a particular ilam is it, even if you accept responsibility, that if the collateral gets lost, you're going to pay for it. What's it going to help? But if it's devalued, it's devalued. And it's still here.
Who's keeping this? The Isha?
The woman keeps it.
Like the Ketubah.
For the Ksuba.
Well, sometimes the money gets devalued greatly also.
Yeah.
So what happens then?
Well, then we'll see later on how it works. It value.
Like in Iran, a dollar was 7 units of Persian money, and now it's 4,000.
Yeah, but you have the same thing, the dollar. Sometimes it's worth more, sometimes the dollar is worth less.
That was even more drastic.
You're right.
7 to 4,000.
Right.
I mean, a dollar is worth 4,000 in Persian money?
Yeah.
That's not good, right?
No.
It's good. If you go there, you spend money, it's good.
Okay.
If you have the old money, it's even worth less.
So that's what it says. But when is this if he didn't accept responsibility? But if he's accepted responsibility, then you could do it. The Biasi comes along and says, one minute. Even if he accepts responsibility, why could you do it? So they can become worth less. Right? Now, what do we see from there? Now the Gemara says the question. Hashto, now, mahosim the dilma parse. Even, what did Rabbi Yossi say in the Braisa? You can't use it because it might become worth less. So he said, ma doch over there, Rabbi Yossi says, it's no good. Hora the vadika parsim, in it when there's a stipulation that the woman says, for sure I'm getting less, for sure it shouldn't be good. Meaning like this. The Gemara said before, that in our Braisa, Rav Yossi says a woman can make a condition to get less. Correct? The woman can make a condition to get less. Not like Rav Meir says. So Rav Meir is 1 minute. The same Rav Yossi holds, you can't use money, monetary, tangible items as collateral. Why? Because it might become worth less. Yeah? So he says like that, 1 minute, that doesn't make sense. Here, it might become worth less, and it's no good. Yeah, but if the woman makes a condition to be less, he says you could. If the woman accepts this as collateral, even if it becomes worth less, who cares? According to Rabbi Yossi, a woman can even make a condition in the ksuba to get less, to definitely get less, right? What did Rabbi Yissi say in this Arbraisa? A woman can make a condition instead of 200 zuz, she says to the husband, know what? You know what? Just give me 100. Rabbi Yissi said, you can do that. Yeah? Yet the same Rabbi Yissi says, you can't use tangible items as collateral because it might become worth less and then she's not going to get the full amount. But if she accepts it, why is this better than worse than a condition? A condition she could make and this she can't. So the basis is contradicting himself.
But even if she accepted it, still may go down.
And Ochanami, that's what the Gemara's question is. So right. Why does Rabbi, but why does Rabbi Yisrael say you can't? The basis says you can't because it might become worth less. But if the lady clearly says I want less, it is good. This is a doubt. It might become worth less. It might not become worth less.
Condition,
yet Rabbi Yisrael says you can't. Rabbi Yisrael says you can't do it because it might become worth less. Yeah? And the woman has to get the full amount. But the same Rabbi Yisrael says the woman could say, I want less.
Yeah, but there is a difference.
What's the difference?
At the time of getting the collateral that might become less, she has in mind it's going
to... Hey, that's what the Gemara answers. Oh. You're good. You're good. But the Gemara's question, that's good. The Gemara's question was, is, if Rabbi Yisrael holds a woman can get less... For sure. So why can't she maybe get a doubtful less? Why is tangible items no good? Because it might become worth less. So the Gemara answers, what are you talking about? Hachi hashta, the Gemara said, what's the comparison? Hasam lo yada de tachim. When she takes the movable item as collateral, what does she think? It's not going to go down in value, right? So what is she thinking? I'm going to get the full amount. That's why I'm marrying this guy. Here she forgave it. How can you compare the two? Right? If it's definite, if at the beginning, in other words like this, Rabbi Yisrael says, if she wants at the beginning of the Ksuba to accept it, fine.
But when they're accepting it, it's a specific amount.
When it's happening, it might happen later, when she's not thinking it might be go down. She thinks it might go up, if anything. She might think it'll be the same amount. So that she never accepted.
Right.
So in other words, we have three opinions so far. Rav Meir says you can never make a condition in a ksuba, gotta be 100 and 200, that's it. Rabbi Yisrael says no, you can make a condition for less. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't and you could. If she writes, it's 200 and she writes back, it's considered as if I got 100, that's okay. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. Is an interesting Gemara, by the way. Achsid Rami Bar Choma, the sister of Rami Bar Choma, was married to Rav Avia. Okay? Rav Avia and Rami Bar Choma were brothers-in-law. Rami Bar Choma's sister married Rav Avia. Yeah? What happened? Irchus Ksubasa. She lost a Ksuba. She lost it. Everybody today loses Ksubas. Not good, though. Also, the Kamid Rav Yosef. So she came to Rav Yosef and said, I don't have a ksuba, what am I supposed to do? Amalo, he said to her, Hachi amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, this is what Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel said, Zu divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, the ksuba has to be, you know, legit, 200 and 100, and you can't make it less and everything. Aval chachomim eimrim, ma sha'odim esish tishtayim v'shalashonim b'lei ksuba. A man can keep his wife 2-3 years without a ksuba, no problem. Rav Meir said, remember he said, if a woman doesn't have a ksuba full amount, it's bilas nus. It's like premarital relation, which are no good. So he says, the halacha, the chachamim say though, that you could have a wife married 2-3 years without a ksuba. Okay? Why? Because they say it's not considered bilas nus.
Oh, yeah.
Amalei Abaye. So therefore, no, because it said Rav Meir holds if a woman is married without a ksuba, it's like zinus. It's like they're not married. So now, so he says Rav Yosef said to this lady, "Okay, you lost your ksuba for 2-3 years, no problem." Yeah. So what happened? Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef. Rav Nachman and Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Meir b'gzei reisav. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel that whenever Rav Meir makes decrees, the halacha is like him. which means if the mayor made a decree, you can't live with a wife without a ksuba even for a minute, the halacha is like him. So what do you mean? It's okay. You could be 2-3 years without a ksuba. Yeah. So you said to Rav Yisrael, why did you paskin? This lady lost a ksuba. Yeah. She comes to Rav Yisrael. Rav Yisrael, no problem. According to the mayor, you got big problems. You can't be without a wife, without a ksuba. But the halacha is like the chachamim. You can wait 2-3 years without a ksuba. Abayi says to 1 minute. The Yudah Mishmul says that whenever a mayor makes a gzera, it's always the halacha like him. So if the mayor says you can't live with a wife without a ksuba, the halacha is like him, not like the chachamim. So Amalei, he said to her, you know what? It's no ksuba. Go write a ksuba.
But did Reb Meir say you can't, not even for a minute?
Yeah. Now, by the way, let me just explain this din because it's pretty common today. Based on the Gemara, what the Gemara is paskening now, the halacha is like a mayor, a man cannot live with a wife without a ksuba. Mm-hmm. Okay, even if the ksuba is less, it has to be full amount, the wife needs security, which is the ksuba is the security for the woman, mm-hmm. Right? This anti-men, pro-women, the ksuba, she should have security. So, the halacha is you can't live with a wife without a ksuba. By the way, that doesn't mean, halacha just for practical, it doesn't mean that wherever the wife travels, she needs to have the ksuba with her. She has to know where it is that she can go and use it to collect.
If the couple travels overseas without ksuba.
I'm saying, as long as she knows where the ksuba is in her house or in the bank or by her mother.
Okay.
By sudden, they give it to the mother. They don't trust anybody.
Why would you need a ksuba if you're going overseas?
Well, the question is, if you can't be with your wife without a ksuba, does that mean you can be with her in Europe if the ksuba is in America? So I'm saying
right.
The law is
you could.
But
people never went by that. That was the question.
So if the ksuba is in the safe, it's okay. In America, it's,
as long as she knows where it is.
Fine. As long as she knows where it is.
As long as she knows where it is.
What about him?
He doesn't have to know. It's her document.
I see.
It's an IOU for her.
Oh,
okay? Why should the guy know where it is? You hide it from him, he'll rip it up. These men. Anyway, so the din is today, which is happens a lot, by the way. Sometimes I do in shul. You see, right? The ksuba is called ksuba deyachasa. There's a lost text for a lost ksuba. So what happens if the wife doesn't know where the ksuba is? Technically, they can't live together. So you have to write, like Rav Yitzchak said, okay, go write a new ksuba. But you can't just write a new ksuba from today's date. Because the ksuba was, so there's a special text called ksuba de irchasa, which means a lost ksuba. That's the, I have the copy in the house, a bunch of copies. Ksuba de irchasa means, basically you're saying, on this and this date, this guy came before us, before the rabbi, the two Edom, whoever the two Edom are, and he said that I was married to this and this person, and this day, and this year, and this in this place, you don't make the date even. And I lost the ksuba. The ksuba was lost. And because a man cannot live with his wife without a ksuba, so I'm coming to you now to rewrite the ksuba the way it was originally written. They write, and that in that day, and what that she was a virgin. Obviously, she's been married 20 years, and she's not a virgin anymore. But it doesn't matter, but she was a virgin, and therefore the ksuba is this amount of money. But until that happens, by the way, halachically, the man has to give the wife collateral for the ksuba.
What? Well, 200 zuz worth?
200 zuz worth.
Property.
Collateral.
You ever see it happen?
Property, but today they make even with like a piece of furniture that's expensive or
yeah.
A car. Because, again, at least she has collateral for the ksuba. But if there's no collateral, then she has no ksuba with no collateral. So this is something that has to be taken care of right away. By the way, a lot of times, people lose ksuba the night of the wedding.
How's that possible?
It happens a lot of times, by the way. That's why I always give it, when I do a wedding, I give it, not to the mother, I give it to the lady in charge, the coordinator. I say, put this away, because the collar doesn't know, so it's flying, they're all over the place, right? Get to the coordinator and you say, just make sure he goes home with the collar, you know, just, they know already that they have to make sure because a lot of people after the wedding, they don't know what the ksub is. Where the ksub is.
Rabbi Engel said the Rebbe lost his wedding.
There's a rumor that the Rebbe lost his ksub and laid it away.
Somebody took it.
You know
what
the Rebbe
did? It was, it's valid, not, I don't know if it's valid. That's the rumor has it.
I've heard stuff.
I also heard it.
And the previous rabbi wrote another ketubah after the party was over.
Yeah.
You're a rock star. People steal your stuff. Yeah. They want the souvenir for
well,
the
it
house.
Was the wedding of the period. No. It was
he's
a big thing.
Who would want it in the
dark? Okay, anyway, but that's, so it's interesting. She lost the ketubah. So first Rabbi Yisrael said it doesn't matter because you can be 2-3 years out of ketubah. You don't have to make ketubah the yechasa. So Abai said to him, it's not true because the mayor made a gzeder. That's it. Allah is like a mayor and these are gzeders. Okay. Okay. Now, the Gemara is getting, okay, not that difficult, but it's a little good. Kosid Abdim, and Abdim gave him a Yitzro. Amir of Shimon Pazi, he said the name of Shimon Pazi, name of Yishub and Levi, in the name of Akabara. Machleik is the argument between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Whether, in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, so far from the argument, we got to mention one major point. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can make a condition in the Ksuba to get less, that's only if it's a written stipulation. She writes back, I got 100. Right? An oral stipulation, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not good enough. Because he says, if you write a 200 and she writes back, I got 100, then it's okay, right? But according to Rabbi Yossi says you can even make a verbal, oral stipulation, a condition, and it's good enough. Okay, now, let's discuss this three times over here. Let me give an introduction to this Gemara. The Gemara is going to say beginning and end. Okay, we're going to use the beginning now. Beginning and end. What is beginning? Beginning of the chuppah means when they go into the chuppah. Okay, that's called beginning. B is after the chuppah, before they have relations. And end, okay, end is after they're together. Look. After they're together. Okay? Got it? Before means before the chuppah. B, that's A. B is after chuppah, before relations.
And before relations means before the yichud room or before
actual relations.
Okay.
And C is after relations. Okay? Now, when you have A, B, and C, I'm going to just give you a brief way the Gemara is working here. And you say beginning and end. Okay, what's beginning and what's end? B compared to C is beginning. B compared to A is end. Right? When you have A, B, and C, and you say beginning,
yeah, you don't know where the beginning is.
You know which is beginning and which one's end. Because A is the beginning for B, B is the end of A, but B is the beginning for C. Right? Once he got that, the Gemara is going to be very simple. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Machlekes, the argument between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, if you can make a oral stipulation or not, right, whether you can make a condition verbally or not, is only betchila. Before the chuppah. Then Rabbi Yehuda says you can make a written stipulation. Rabbi Yossi says you can make an oral stipulation. Avul b'saf, we don't know yet what the, but at the end, everybody says she cannot be meichel d'ksuba. In other words, what this person is saying, yeah, when could she make a condition, whether oral or verbal, burning or based in a beauty, is only all the way at the beginning. At the end, you cannot make any condition whatsoever in the ksuba to get less. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Rabbi Yechanan says no. Bein bezu machlekes. The argument is beginning and end. Got it? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, right, says the argument is only at the beginning, not at the end. Rabbi Yechanan says the argument is beginning and end. Now the question, what's beginning, what's end? So Amar Rabbu, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ledidim Mefarshim Mined Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan explained to me, Danav Rabbi Shub and Levi Leipagin and Adodi. That Rabbi Yechanan said to Rabbi Abu, I want you to know, Rabbi Yishub and Levi said, the argument is only in the beginning, not at the end. At the end, everybody says he can't forgive. And Rabbi Yechanan says the argument is beginning and end. So Rabbi Yechanan said, you know what, me and him are not arguing. When he said, the argument is only in the beginning, not at the end, and I see the argument is beginning and end, we're saying the same thing. Because it depends what beginning is and what end is. It says like this. My bitchila du kama Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What is the beginning? When Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the argument is only at the beginning, it means tchilas chuppah. Before the chuppah, that's when they argue if you can make it verbal or written. Umay sof, what does end mean? Sof bia. After C. In other words, it says like this. A, remember, is when they're going to the chuppah. Yes? B is after chuppah, before bia. C is after bia, after relations. Right? So you say like this. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, they're arguing that when does Rabbi Yasi and Rabbi Yehuda argue if an oral stipulation is good or verbal stipulation is good? I mean, written stipulation is only before the chuppah. When does he say at the end for sure there's no argument, meaning that you cannot make a stipulation? That's after C. That means they're arguing by A, but by C after B, everybody says she cannot change her mind. We can't make any conditions. And he says, V'chi ka'amina, ano bein bezu machlekes, I mean, tchilas chupa, v'saf chupa, A and B. V'saf chupa, tchilas bia, which is the beginning, coming before they actually have relations. So he says like this, we're saying the same thing. I said, both of us said, before the chuppah, she can make a condition. Rabbi Yossi says, you can make it verbal. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to write it. Okay? At the end, he says, you can't make a condition. She has to get the full amount. Nobody can make a condition to change it. He says, what does that end mean? All the way after Bia. Okay? That's when there's no argument. When I said they're arguing by beginning and end, I didn't mean A and C. I meant they're arguing by A, before Chuppah, and they're arguing by B, before Bia. Then they're also arguing. And by C, everybody agrees that they can't. So in other words, he says, he's talking about A and C, that they're arguing by A and by not by C, and I'm saying they're arguing by A and B. But by C, I agree with you, they're not arguing.
So why is this discussed here? If they all agree, why are we discussing it?
No, because they're arguing before chuppah if a verbal stipulation is good enough, or it has to be a written stipulation.
What's the argument before B? We haven't heard that argument yet.
No, according to this version,
yeah.
Everybody says like this. A is the argument.
Right.
B, they're arguing. C, everybody says they're not arguing.
But what are they arguing in B?
They're not arguing. He just says beginning and end means what he said was A and C, and I mean beginning and end is A and B. And I agree they're arguing by A and by B, not by C. And he said, by A they're arguing and not by C. But we're saying the same thing.
But we're still
you know, we learned in Kedushin, a very crazy scenario. A guy has five daughters. Yeah? And he says, your big daughter is Mukadeshes to me. He doesn't say which one. He says, your older daughter is Mukadeshes to me.
What does that mean? You mean you're engaged to me?
Right.
Not engaged, Kedushin. No, the father accepts Kedushin for the kids. Yep.
Older compared to who?
Oh. So now the question is, we learned this in the Mishnah Kedushin, by the way. We're learning Kedushin. Yeah. Okay. Which daughter gets engaged? Let's use the word engaged, but which daughter gets engaged? So one opinion says, he means the oldest, period.
But he didn't say the oldest.
He didn't say oldest. He said, your older daughter is engaged to Kedushin to me. Yeah. So one opinion says, he means the oldest daughter.
Yeah.
So the question is only on the oldest daughter.
Right.
The other opinion says, no. Older means any daughter which is older than the next one is a question. So if she has if a guy has five daughters, one opinion says it's only the first one that's Mekudeshes, right? And the second opinion says no, four are Mekudeshes. Or meaning he can give
four
gittin, divorce each one and divorce three and marry one.
That means they can't marry Cohens.
So to marry Goldmans.
Goldman?
Can't marry Cohens, they'll marry Goldmans.
Oh.
It's the same thing over here. What is beginning, what does end mean? Because you have A, B, C. Right? So the Be'echon is everybody agrees that A, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi are arguing. By the way, according to the mayor, you can't make any condition. It doesn't matter any time. Right? But he says, Rabbi Yechon says, and Rabbi Shimon Levi says, A is the argument of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And the way the Gemara is explaining it now, when Rabbi Shimon Levi says, and, there's no argument, yeah, that's C. Rabbi Shimon Levi doesn't talk about B. So Rabbi Yechon says, I'm talking about A and B, so everybody agrees. A, there's an argument. B, there's an argument. And everybody agrees. C, there's no argument.
We're still in the argument, though. Verbal or written?
Yeah, whatever. But the question is, in what case? Is it only at the beginning, in the middle, or the end? Then, the Gemara, as typical Gemara, Gemara says there's another version to the story. So this opinion said the argument is beginning, right? Now, the Kiyosu Rabin, that was Rav Dimi when he came from Eretz Yisrael. When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the opposite. Amir Abshim Paz, Amir Abshim Ben Levi, in the name of Bakapora, Machleik is Besof. The argument, if you could, verbal or written conditions, only at the end, after Bia. Avu Betchila, but before, everybody says she could be Meichel. Okay? But Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan says, Bein Bezum Achleik is Bein Bezum Achleik. In both cases, they're arguing. Beginning and end. Right? Same Gemara, just to reverse. Amar Rabbi Odedim, Vashili Rabbi Yechanan, that he said, me and Rabbi Shimon Levi are not arguing. Why? Because what is soft that Rabbi Shimon Levi says? The end of the Chuppah. Umay Tchila, Tchilas Chuppah. So he's speaking about B, by him end means B and A. And when I say zu, I'm talking about beginning of B and end of B. So in other words, Rabbi Yechon says again the same thing. He's speaking about C and B, and I'm talking about B and C. No, he's talking about, I'm sorry. He says A and C, and I'm talking about B and C. The same thing, just in reverse. In other words, the first opinion of the Gemara says, we're arguing beginning. What is end? It could be B or C. So he said, basically we're saying the same thing. Now the Gemara reverses it. They're arguing by C. After Bia, if she could be Meichel or not. But before the wedding, before the Chuppah, she could be Meichel. And he says, no, they're arguing in both cases. So again, it's either C and B, or A and B. So they're saying the same thing. Okay, so comes along Rav Papa now and says, He loved the Amr Rababu. If Rababu wouldn't say what he said, I would explain the Gemara differently. What did Rababu say? Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi are not arguing. Right? But Rabdimi and Rababin are arguing if it meant beginning or end. Right? The first opinion of Rabdimi said they're arguing at the beginning, not at the end. Right? And the second version said they're arguing at the end, not at the beginning. So he said, if it'd be up to me, I would change it. I would say Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yechanan are arguing. And Rab Dimi and Rabban are not arguing. Because one of them said end, one said beginning. So he said they're not arguing. Why? Because this, that mass of the Kamer Rabin, what is the end of Rabban Sef Sof Chuppah Dan the Chuppah? What is Tchila the Rab Dimi means Tchila's Bia? So again, they're not arguing whether it's beginning or end. But him, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yechon are arguing what it means. So Gemara says, "My Kamashmala, what is the puppet saying us? What is he telling us this?" So the Kamashmala is teaching us the Pliga Treya Meroya, time of Nafshayu, it's better that two Amiroyim are disputing their own opinions and two people are not arguing about somebody else. Meaning like this. It makes more sense that Rabbi Yechonan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are arguing themselves rather than two people arguing what Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are arguing about. Now, according to the Papa, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yechanan are arguing. Okay? According to the first opinion, the version of the Gemara, Rav Dimi and Rabin are arguing what Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi meant. Now what makes more sense to say there's an argument? To argue about other people what they're arguing about? Or to argue that the people themselves are arguing? So Papa says it makes more sense that Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are arguing themselves rather than Rav Dimi and Rabin arguing what they meant. It just makes more sense. Okay, that's it. Let's start the Mishnah. Okay, Nun Zayin Amidal of the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that we discussed all the way at the beginning. Remember we learned in the time of the Gemara, the girl had Kedushin, and when did the wedding take place? 12 months later. Right, for a Psula. Yeah. This is the Mishnah we're learning now that says this then. We just discussed it.
I remember this.
Okay. Yeah, nowadays we do it all under the chuppah. Like we said, today we do the kedushin under the chuppah, we do the chuppah under the chuppah, and that's the reason today we read the ksuba to separate between part A and part B. But years ago that didn't happen. There was kedushin 12 months earlier, 12 months later they got married. But now the Mishnah is going to discuss, which in those is obviously very practical. Let's say a guy does kedushin with a girl, and Aleph Kislev. Yeah? That means 12 months later, Aleph Kislev, they're getting married. Yeah? What happens if they don't get married that day? The guy's pushing it off.
12 months later, he pushes it off?
Yeah. Not it terminates it. He just, I need a few more weeks.
Okay, is it a problem?
So the din is, he has to support her from the date that he promised to marry her. Until the wedding, the husband doesn't have to support his wife, she's still by the father. Mm-hmm. Right? Once the wedding comes, the husband has to support her. So the Mishnah is going to say, what happens if the day of the wedding came and went and they didn't get married yet? The husband's obligated by halacha to support her.
Halachically obligated.
Yeah, but Bezin would enforce it. Let's see the Mishnah inside.
Is it a contract? It
doesn't matter.
Even just verbal.
Right. Nason lepsula shnei maser chedesh. Okay? Mishatava abal. From the time the husband, that the husband says, you know, he gives the kedushin, lefinis assessment to provide for herself. Okay? She needs ornaments, she needs dresses, she needs caterers, Listen, the time the bridal shops, you go in and buy a dress, right? It didn't have ornaments. They had to, everything was made. Then it says, Okshem Shenesim Isha, just like the woman is given 12 months to get ready for the wedding. Kachnesen Ish, the finest assassin. The man also needs 12 months. Okay? Why? The feast, the chuppah, to prepare the house, the furnishings, I mean, whatever. They both get 12 months.
They couldn't do it less than a year?
Yeah, if they wanted to, they could. But in other words, you can't demand each other to get married before 12 months. Yeah, if they both agreed, I mean, they're ready, they have tons of money and they're ready, what deal? Okay, now, all almana, shleishim yin. Because almana is not such a big wedding, second time around. It's
been there, done there.
Been there, done there, 30 days. Why it says, Rashi said, because she has the adornments from the previous wedding. She has her stuff basically already. Okay.
Since when they stopped this custom, Rabbi? Not waiting 12 months?
Historically, when they stopped, I don't know.
The halacha, he said, you do it better, faster, right? Faster, better.
Yeah, but I don't know historically when it stopped. But it's a long, long time ago. Now, what happens? He gives man valinisi. They appointed Tom, and they didn't get married. Whatever, the wedding didn't happen. Yeah? The din is, echeles mishalei. She eats the husband's food. Meaning, the Rishonim explained this to mean, that because the date of the wedding came and they didn't get married, he has an obligation to feed her. She eats his food. Not only that, v'cheles b'truma. If the husband's a kohen, now again, when a kohen marries a wife, she can eat truma. Technically, minatayda and erusin, the girl from kedushin could eat. Why did the chacham say no? Because if she's still living with the father, we're afraid he's going to give her truma to eat, and she'll give it to her parents, and they won't know it's truma, and Yisrael's not allowed to eat truma. But here the Mishnah says that if the girl, the date Aleph Kislev came, they didn't get married, number one, he has to feed her. He can even give her truma. Now, how much truma can he give the Kala? The Mishnah says you can give her truma. How much? Now you have to understand.
Before wedding.
Truma. Listen, guys are cheap then too. Truma is cheaper value than regular food.
Not too much food you can eat.
Because who can eat truma? Again, supply and demand. Truma, people sold very cheaply. Because the only one that can eat it is a kohen. So the demand, you have to be a kohen to eat truma.
Right. No,
so a Yisraelim didn't buy it. Okay? So a husband would rather give his non-yet-to-be wife, but they're supposed to get married, he'd rather give her truma. Right? But the question, how much truma can he give her? All? Half? How much? You know? So
why is it considered a less of a food if it's the same?
Not less of a food. It's just cheaper value. A kohen was able to buy truma cheaper because who else could buy truma?
More supply than demand.
Huh? The
thought gets for free.
Yeah, either he gets it for free, or if he wants to buy it, let's say he's not a popular kohen. His name's not kohen, his name's Schwartz. Yes. So people don't know he's a kohen. Whatever, he has to go buy it. So, Tarfen Amen, Nathan Lahakol Truma. He can give her everything Truma. Okay? Now, the question is, okay, and this is the question. A person who's Tamei is not allowed to eat truma. Now this woman becomes Nida. So then she can't only have truma. Correct? But Abtafrin says you can give her everything truma. She's not going to be able to eat it. But she could sell it and buy regular food with it. And then she could eat that. Rabbi Kiva says, Mechse chulim, mechse truma. Rabbi Akiva says 50-50. This is what Rabbi Akiva says. You can give her 50-50. Rabbi Tarfon says you can give her all truma. Ah, she's going to become tamei. Normally a woman becomes impure. How is she going to eat the truma? So Rabbi Tarfon said, let her sell it and buy regular food and she'll have what to eat.
Doesn't sound too nice.
Huh?
To make her sell the stuff and already eat.
You know.
Just buy a turkey. Kind of like, you know, your wife wants a watch, so you, instead you give her something to sell so she can buy the watch. Just buy her the watch.
He's feeding her.
I understand. But, she
but he wants
he
to...
He knows that he can't, she can't eat it all. She can only have to sell it.
So, that's what he's allowed to do. Now, 1 minute.
Practically,
let me just explain to you. Yeah, let's understand one thing clearly. If the husband says, I'm going to feed you, I'm going to give you money, he can give him money before the wedding too. He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
Obviously, we're speaking, the husband doesn't want to give him money. Okay? So we're talking about what is best and force him to give.
Right. We already know where this marriage is going
to
go.
Yeah. It's going to end up where all the other marriages end up. But obviously, if the guy says, okay, he can't give, but we learned, he can't give a truma when she's still living in the father's house, because she'll give it to the father. Right? But Reb Tarfon says, I mean, both opinions say, that once the date comes, he can give it to her, because then the Chacham took off their prohibition, because it says, listen, you have to feed her. So therefore, I can feed her truma. If I have to feed her, I can feed her truma if I'm a Kohen. Right? And obviously, we're talking in a case where the husband doesn't want to give more. And therefore, the question is, what can Bezdin force him to give? So Reb Tarfon says Bezdin can only force him to give truma. What's she going to eat? That's her worry. Let her sell it and get food. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Bezdin can force him to give 50-50. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Let's leave it. Okay, that's it.